Sad to see him go. He's been good for the game up here. But things change, times move on, and obviously he's decided he wants a new challenge.
And Jess Glynn, Elbow and Rudimental will headline the big festival this summer. The family festival, founded by Blur's Alex James 8 years ago, takes place in the Cotswolds over the August bank holiday weekend. That's the latest. I'm Daisy Gray.
This is BCB 106.6 FM.
This is our top 10 on BCB 106.6 FM.
This is our top 10 on BCB 106.6 FM, where members of local groups and organisations come in and talk about what they do and why they do it, and we play 10 of their favourite music tracks. Today's guest is Tom Donohoe, Senior Contact Manager for West Yorkshire Police, based at Dudley Hill. Hello, Tom.
Hello, really good to be here.
Very good. It's nice to have you here. So you're going to tell us a lot about what you do at work and in your organisation, and you've got to give us 10 songs to play. Uh-huh. Is there a theme behind the music that we're playing today?
The theme's probably agony, because it's taken me such a long time to distill down 50 years of liking music into 10 tracks, so I feel as though I almost should be apologising to the bands I left out.
Okay, and what is the first song going to be?
The first song is one that's a real big favourite of mine and has been for a long, long time. It's the Buzzcocks and Love You More.
I'm in love again. Been like this before. I'm in love again. This time's true, I'm sure.
There you have them, the Buzzcocks, very fast, very loud, and a very energetic song, a good choice to start the programme with. So it's Tom Donohoe, Senior Contact Manager for West Yorkshire Police, who's with us today on our Top 10. To give us a start, Tom, give us an overview of what you and your team do.
Well, within Contact, we control a number of different functions, but the one that I think most people will be familiar with is handling 999 and 101 calls for the whole of the county. As well as online contacts, people can contact us through our website, and we have a web chat account, for example.
Very good. And so you say about the calls you take in. What sort of volumes of calls do you get?
It varies quite a lot, as you can imagine. It can be seasonal, but on a daily basis, we can handle between 4,000 and 4,500 contacts. That includes our online. But that can vary depending on what's happening in the county. Incidents on the motorway, for example, can push that volume up, or even things that make the press can push up our call volume.
And are there certain days of the year when you're busier than others?
Oh, yes. The two biggest ones last year were New Year's Eve, which traditionally is always a busy time, especially in the small hours of the morning. But actually, our record, believe it or not, was the 7th of July last year when England played Sweden and we handled over 2,399 calls alone. We actually broke the 5,000 contacts that day.
And why was that on that day? What made it triggered all those calls?
It can be a number of things. Unfortunately, drink is a factor in these things. People over-celebrating, for want of a better term, hot weather, large crowds, and people losing their temper, being jostled and things like that. So it can be a number of different things that drive that number up. For the England-Sweden game, there was a lot of alcohol involved, unfortunately.
OK. And so how did you become involved with this team? Have you done it all of your working life, or did you do something else before it?
I did. I was a trained engineer and then had to retrain because of a cycling accident. So joined the organisation nearly 27 years ago. And I'm still here, so it must be quite good.
And when you joined 26 years ago, did you think you'd be there in 26 years' time?
To be honest, I didn't really have that kind of plan. I was still playing in bands at that point and DJing a little bit, so I thought my career lay elsewhere, but obviously didn't.
All right, well, talking of DJing and bands, what's song number two?
Song number two, I could have picked anything by this band, literally, I love them. It's Blondie and Union City Blue.
Music of Debbie Harry, Blondie and Union City Blues. So, Tom, you mentioned about taking all the calls from the public in your busy days. When should the public use 101 rather than 999?
Well, what I'd say to start off with, it's more around when to use 999, really. If people ring us in error, or the ringers, you know, with a misplaced call, then we will look after that individual and hopefully do what we can for them, educate them, and maybe direct them to online or to 101. So people shouldn't be worried about ringing 999 because my guys are there to help, and that's what they're very well trained to do. In terms of 101, we do need people to use a little bit more common sense because, believe it or not, we got a lot of calls that are council-directed or have very little, if anything, to do with the police. And at peak times, that can cause us quite a lot of problems. So what I would say is it's that pause before you actually dial 101 to think, is this a police matter? And also, can I do this online? Or can I find out the information by doing a bit of research using Google or going to the force's website? Rather than just picking up the phone and ringing through, we get a lot of what I would class as silly calls that are generally people who haven't thought through whether they really need us or not. We tweet a lot, but we've got a Twitter site in contact management. We tweet out those calls, and some of them do raise some eyebrows around whether they're genuine or not. They are, and it's unfortunately largely down to people not thinking, do I really need to make that call?
Okay, let's have the next song, song number three. What have we got down for that?
Yep, massively underrated band in my opinion. Big fan right from the word go. And one of the few bands on the list that I didn't get to see live. It's XTC and Life Begins at the Hop.
And Life Begins at the Hop, was that a big hit in its day? Because I can only, off the top of my head, remember Making Plans for Nigel.
Yeah, it wasn't actually. And yeah, you're right. Generals and Majors and Making Plans for Nigel's were the big hits. This was the one that was just before they really made it. So.
Cold on.
XTC and Life Begins at the Top. You're listening to our Top 10 on BCB 106.6 FM with me, Mike Kelly. Our guest today is Tom Donohoe, Senior Contact Manager for West Yorkshire Police. And we'll continue finding more about the organisation. Let's start with, we've talked about some of the calls you take. When somebody calls 999, what information do you need to get from a caller quickly?
That's a really good question, because if it's somebody who's in desperate need of a help, we need that information quickly, and the staff are trained to do a triage on that call to determine what action they need to take at the appropriate time. But really, we need to know what exactly has happened, where that person is, and they're the things that we really fire off on. And then, obviously, if it's a serious offence, we might need to know additional details, such as, are there any witnesses? And we might help that person to help us to preserve the scene, because that could be crucial in getting a conviction further down the line. But initially, it's where are you, what's happened, who are you, and obviously, contact details, just in case. We rarely get cut off, but just in case we get cut off, we need to be able to get back in touch with that person and re-establish that connection.
OK, and do the same members of staff at your end answer the both calls, or do you have different people for 999 to 101?
No, they do. The guys in the room, or rooms, there's one at Bradford and one at Wakefield, will handle pretty much everything that comes into them. We can, at times of peak demand, move our resources across the two call groups. So if we get a surge of 999 calls, we might put additional contact handlers into those skill groups. But generally, they can do 999, 101 and online, which is becoming more and more of a contact tool for us.
Well, do you take people reporting incidents online?
We do. We've got we're one of the best forces in the country in terms of online presence. We were the first force in the country to have a web chat function, and that's really popular. In the last 12 months, we've handled about 150,000 contacts online, and that's not counting the inquiries where people have done their own little bit of research on our website. So you can report hate crime, antisocial behaviour, you can report minor thefts, those kind of things. What we've also done recently is we've responded to, I wouldn't say pressure, but we've responded to calls from neighbourhood watch teams to bring in a suspicious behaviour form. So you can fill that in, it'll come through to us and we'll treat it as we would a call, and also a drug dealing one. So you can fill the form in online, you can whiz it through to us, and we'll treat it as we would any other method of contact.
But you don't want people reporting accidents and things like that online?
No, definitely not. The good thing about the online system is it will alert you. If you use certain keywords or it's something that is obviously not suitable to be reported through the online functions, then you'll get a warning and you'll be directed to use 999. But it's very rare that we get something through that should really be a 999 call.
That's good. OK. And if you get a call from somebody who, say, had an accident, but it's in the middle of nowhere, they don't know the location, how do you go about finding out what their location is?
Well, the call handlers are very skilled at looking for landmarks or looking for points of interest that we can track down on our mapping system. But something that's coming recently that we're really delighted with, and it's a national product, is What Three Words. It's a really simple app. Some very clever boffins have mapped out the world into 3 metre square areas, and it gets a unique identifying code. So, for example, we might be sat in, this room might be slipper, banana, footstool. And when you download the app, it'll pinpoint your geolocation and translate it into those three words. So we've had some successes recently where people have rung in, they've no idea where they are, we've persuaded them to download the What Three Words app onto the smartphone, and they've given us a pinpoint location.
OK, and when somebody does that, and they get the three words, banana, slipper, whatever, and they say that to you, what, do you just type it into a computer, or do you have a long list of names?
Well, we get, there's geocode information attached to those three words and a mapping system. So we can actually see on our end, when we put those three words in, exactly where that person is. It's a really clever piece of kit. It's revolutionary.
Let's go for our next song. Song number four, what are we having now?
Again, another favourite of mine. It's been really difficult to pick which track, but I went for one that everybody knows, I think. It's Gary Numan and Cars.
We'll be right back.
with a style all of his own, Gary Newman and Cars. Today we've got Tom Donohoe on our top 10, and we've got questions and answers coming up about the control rooms across West Yorkshire. And my next question is this: have the types of calls that you take in your control rooms changed over the years? Do you get different subjects coming up now to things that you would never have got, say, 10 years ago?
Yeah, we really do. And obviously with the advent of online and those kind of things, we get a lot of calls relating to online activity, the not the positive kind of stuff, either fraud calls or calls about grooming and those kind of things. And we do, the force is very good at pushing the message out there about safety online, and one of our staff's key roles is to do that when people ring us up. But we also get a lot more mental health related calls than we ever did, and calls related to missing persons, unfortunately, because other services have suffered cutbacks, as most services have. Those calls have to go somewhere, and a lot of the time they will come to us at first point of contact. So the staff in the room have to be aware of the fact that some of the calls that they're dealing with might relate to underlying mental health issues. It's a really tough role.
And you see a lot about that on the news. Is there any sort of solution coming up for it? Is it all to do with funding in the mental health area that's meant to the calls coming through to you?
I think it is, and I think obviously, you know, times are hard right across the nation in terms of public services. But I think the solution's got to lie in partnership working. We've had some good results working with the NHS service providers and even local councils to try and share that load, share information, signpost people to the right point, that, you know, the best point for them to get the help that they need. But also to work more closely together. I think if I predicted anything, it's going to be that will get stronger and stronger as we go on. I think it has to, from a simple logistics point of view.
You're based at the control room at Dudley Hill here in Bradford. Are there similar control rooms all across West Yorkshire?
There is another one, a sister unit. We're 4 months into a really interesting and exciting model, I believe, in terms of service provision for the public of West Yorkshire. We've got a centre at Bradford and a centre at Wakefield that's mirrored. They perform exactly the same functions, but what it does give us massively, well, two things, is one, in terms of business continuity, we've got a fallback site in case one of the sites goes down, which is great because that's the thing that used to keep me awake at night. But also, we started to recruit more from the Bradford area. We'd been originally based in Wakefield. We tended to get applicants from that side of the force or even South Yorkshire. Now we're finding we're getting far more applicants from this side of the force, which is great because it really is. It sounds like a cliche, but it's not. We really need to represent the people that we serve within contact.
And how have the control rooms evolved over time? I seem to remember that there were lots of more smaller, locally based control rooms. So is it a matter of narrowing it down to two for each area? So you've got the backup plan and one main control room?
Not quite. It used to be, it's more economies of scale. And I think as technology has developed, it's meant really that call handling is better served by having the two sites. For quite a long time, we had one site based at Wakefield. Not as practical as it could be. So we've moved to this model where we've got flexibility, we've got that business continuity, we've opened up our recruiting. So all in all, I think the two-site model is the right thing to do.
Wasn't Wakefield traditionally the sort of headquarters of the police in West Yorkshire? Because you have the police headquarters there, you have the helicopter, and other bits out there, don't you?
Yeah, it still is. It's still got a large part to play within policing. We've got the new learning and development centre at Cargate, and that's an absolutely amazing new development. And you're right, the helicopter is there, dogs, horses, all the operational support functions. And I think going back before my time, it was at the county headquarters, I believe, for the force, but so it still carries that element of historical influence.
OK, and let's have the next song. What is song number 5?
It's another one of those that I could have literally stuck a pin in any track by this band and just that would have done. They're just an amazing band. I've loved them all my life. And this is, I think, hopefully a slightly lefter scent of choice. So it's The Beatles and Paperback Writer.
Paperback Writer.
Thank you.
Talking about the control rooms, as it were, before the Beatles and Paperback Writer, wasn't there a plan at one time to put all the emergency services into one control room, so it was ambulance, police and fire?
I think nationally that's still under some sort of consideration, but I don't think we're quite in the time to actually move towards that centralised emergency function. I think it's something that will develop over years, and we work more closely than we ever have done with ambulance, for example. But I can't see it happening for quite a while yet.
And you talked about social media and that sort of thing, and that's how technology is advancing. Are there other new technologies which means humans could be replaced in your service by, say, artificial intelligence in the future?
I hope not. I've recently done an article for the APD Contact Centre magazine, which is a national magazine, on that very subject. And I think if people are in their darkest hour, and we use that phrase quite a lot, and they ring us up, they don't want to be routed by something electronic. They want somebody at the end of the phone who's going to listen, who hopefully is going to be able to help, or if not help immediately, then reassure them and get them to a place of safety, which is a key part of what a call handler does. So technology's got its place. And I've always touched on the fact that we've introduced a lot of online contact options and have been the leaders in terms of forces to do that. But it has its limits.
OK, let's have another song. What's the next one?
It's from the same era as the last one. And again, another band who did a huge amount of in terms of developing music and recording and things like that. So close to my heart, it's the Beach Boys and God Only Knows.
Love you, but long as there are stars above you, you never need to doubt it. I'll make you so sure about it. God only knows what I'd be without you. If you should ever leave me, well, life would still go on, believe me. Show nothing to me, so what good would living do me? God only knows what I'd be without you.
Mama, 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 mama efforts to go on, believe me, the world could show nothing to me. So what good would living do me? God only knows what I'd be. God only knows what I'd be without you.
God only knows what I'd be without you.
God only knows what I'd be without
you. God only knows what I'd be without you.
Music from the Beach Boys and God Only Knows. You're listening to our Top 10 on BCB 106.6 FM with me, Mike Kelly. Our guest today is Tom Donohoe, Senior Contact Manager for West Yorkshire Police. We're talking about your control rooms and how they work, how they operate. How big are the teams in the control room? How many people do you say have working at one time?
It's split across more than one function. So what we call initial contact, who are the guys who do the triage on the 999 and 101 calls, we can have up to low 40s in terms of numbers dealing with those calls. We've then got a dispatch function, which is, I always think of it as a baton. We take the initial call, the call handler either decides that they can deal with it there and then, or perhaps they can transfer it onto another department, or give advice or those kind of things. If we need to deploy an officer, then they'll pass that baton to a group of dispatchers who know exactly where all the officers are throughout the force, and they can utilise the best resource available to get to that job. Some of those calls may end up in either our tell function, which is a little bit of an armchair detective come making an appointment type function, or they can go to our force crime management unit, who can do a little bit more digging and decide whether it needs to be allocated to an officer in slower time, or whether that could actually be put to bed as no further lines of inquiry. So it's quite a complex function, but I think the baton analogy normally works.
And are all the people who work in the control rooms civil servants, or are some police officers in there as well?
Yeah, we've got a combination of support staff and police officers. In initial contact, it's all support staff. In dispatch, it's a bit of a mixture. We've got some inspectors and duty managers who are the equivalents of inspectors who manage both sites. And then it's down to myself and the chief inspector, Nick Rook, to manage the day-to-day functions under the guidance of Superintendent McManus.
Is it easy to get the staff you need for your teams, or is it an ongoing process that you're always looking for new people?
Yeah, that's a really good point, and it is something that that I wanted to cover. It's a really good place to work, and it's a really good career stepping stone if you want a career within the police. We very rarely lose people outside of the organisation. They go on to be police officers or detention officers or work in departments or in a multitude of jobs. But it does mean that we've got quite a high turnover of staff, because we train them up and then they move on to next step, which is, you know, good for them and not so good for us. So we do a lot of recruiting. We're currently recruiting for call handlers, and we will be recruiting for dispatchers again in the future. They're the chaps that send the officers out to jobs. So it is one of those jobs where we have a high turnover, but we have a high turnover often to the benefit of the organisation and never to the detriment of our 999 service. For example, our average queue time on 999 at the moment is less than 5 seconds. So we manage those numbers really well, I believe.
And if somebody's looking for work with you, what are the key skills you're looking for in people who come to work with you?
Really good communicator, a better communicator than me, hopefully, but a really good communicator. IT skills are good, but we can train IT skills. We really need people who, when they come across somebody who's distressed, upset, or perhaps with mental health issues, are able to empathise with them, to get the best out of them. And you touched on it earlier on, to get that information quickly, because those seconds can be the difference between life and death.
OK, and you talked about the training that you do in-house, how long does it take to train somebody up, or does it vary with different people?
I'm very proud of the fact it varies. The initial training's between about 11 and 13 weeks, and then after that we go at the pace of that individual. They'll be offered a huge amount of support. We've invested a lot of time and money in our training, and the benefits are that we out of that comes some really skilled, experienced staff. So yeah, we go at the pace of the individual within a reasonable limit.
Who's your biggest competitor for getting the same sort of staff? Is it call centres?
No, as I said, it's mainly internal. Whenever the force decides to recruit more officers, and we've just gone through a large round of recruiting officers, my heart sinks because I know I'm going to lose some really good staff to those roles. But I also know that they'll take the skills that they've got within contact, and they'll be better officers than perhaps somebody who's a direct intake. So our biggest competitor is internal.
Let's have another piece of music, song number 7.
Yeah, I should have dedicated the Beach Boys track to my wife, because the next one she's going to absolutely hate. It's a band she's no time for at all. It's the Cocteau Twins and Sugar Hiccup.
It is the Cocteau Twins and Sugar Hiccup. We were talking about getting people to work in control rooms. What are the shift patterns like?
We currently operate a 6-on, 4-off shift pattern. It's a combination of earlies, so without going into what is a fairly complicated pattern around start times, sort of 7 o'clock starts, and then we do a sort of a mid-shift, starting from about 11 o'clock-ish, and then nights.
OK, and do you work with the police national computer? Do you do stuff with that?
Yeah, I'm the manager for that unit. It comes under a contact. It's a contact function, so very proud of the work that they do as well.
What does the police national computer do? Is it just so you know something's going on in West Yorkshire, put it on there so that other people can look it up as well?
Pretty much, yeah, in a nutshell, that's what they do. We use the word circulate quite a lot, which means that we make that information known to within the force and externally around stolen vehicles and offenders and those kind of things. So they do a really important job in terms of national information sharing.
Very good. And in the control room, you're obviously talking about the call handlers and people taking these phone calls, but what else is in the control room? Paint a picture of what it's like. Is it a lot of screens so you can see motorways and things like that?
A little bit. We've got access to CCTV, and the staff use that particularly well. It's a very difficult thing to describe, really, because it's a feel. It's when you walk into the room, there's a buzz. So there are screens around the room, and there are a lot of people looking at four terminals at any one time, which will have mapping systems on and the systems that they update with information, anything from intelligence to crime reports. But it's the buzz in the room that makes it different to other contact centres, I believe. The staff there could be dealing with quite a serious offence or even a murder, but they're calm, they're considered and empathetic, and then the next call they could get might be somebody complaining that the pizza's arrived and it's not as they ordered. So they've got to have the patience of saints as well.
Yeah, so if you have a big incident ongoing, do you then get a feed from the cameras nearby to see what's on so you can keep an eye on it?
Yeah, we can do that. And especially around city centres, we can use, you know, with sort of nighttime economy activity, we can utilise them then. And that will help officers, because before they get there, we can give them an idea of what they're actually going to turn up to.
OK, let's take another piece of music. Song number 7, I think it is.
Yeah,
song number 8.
Number 8, yeah. Another underrated band, I believe. And I've noticed that most of the tracks so far have been quite short. This is 7 minutes long, and it Sparks, number 1 song in heaven.
There it is, Music for Sparks, number one song in heaven. Sounds like the 12-inch version, and sounds a bit like a Donna Summer beat to it, doesn't it? It sounds like that sort of era.
It was Giorgio Moroder had played a big part in it, so the same guy who produced Donna Summer had a hand in that track as well.
Okay, and in your business, are there any planned highlights for 2019?
Hopefully, we're still recruiting, and anybody who's interested in joining us can get further details from our website or from our Twitter account, which is WYP_contact. We're looking at bringing in new technology, which I'm really excited about, to help us handle calls more effectively and to take a little bit of pressure off staff. So they're the kind of main things that we're looking for, and actually getting more involved in some of the community work that we've already started to do.
And you say you've been there for 26 years. What are some of the highlights, memorable moments that you've had in the job?
Well, I've been lucky enough to work for a wide variety of bosses in 26 years. So I think probably my nomination for Leader of the Year last year was kind of one of the highlights. I was very proud of that. But I'm also very proud of the fact that I was instrumental in bringing in a lot of our online options. So, again, we lead the way in terms of other forces, and I was at the forefront of that. So, again, very proud of that.
And what's the next song?
The next song is Golf Rap and Strict Machine.
Gold Trap and Strict Machine. We'll have our final song in a moment or two. And we've got Tom Donohoe, Senior Contact Manager for West Yorkshire Police, here today on our Top 10. You've talked a lot about the police, but you did touch on something a little earlier on about being in a band. So tell us a bit about you and what sort of band were you in?
Oh, dear. I was in a few different bands. The kind of ones that I was most fond of, I was in a funk band at one point, believe it or not, but also I was in a couple of electronic bands, and that's why I think I gravitate towards Gary Newman and Golf Rap and Sparks and those kind of things. They always did the sort of stuff I wanted to do. We actually played live in Bradford at one point and went down okay. So it was a long time ago and it was really good fun, but slightly embarrassing now.
And where did you play?
It was a place down in Little Germany, and I can't remember the name of the place. I was trying to remember on the way in today. We supported a Bradford band called Royce, who were great. Not that we weren't, but yeah, good fun, good fun.
And where do you used to do your DJing?
I had a couple of residencies, actually, at clubs in Huddersfield. What used to be Ivanhoe's, which anybody over about 45 years old will remember Ivanhoe's, and I'd got a Friday night residency there. And then I used to DJ at a club called Josephine's, which was in St. George's Square, but is long now defunct.
Well, it's nearly time to go. So time to say a big thank you to our guest for today, Tom Donohoe, Senior Contact Manager for West Yorkshire Police. And from me, Mike Kelly, until the next time, thanks for listening. But before we go, what's the last song?
Thanks, Mike. The last song is a trip down memory lane. It reminds me of a really hot summer in the late 70s, and it's Alessi and Oh Laurie.
I'd like to stay in love with you all summer, and after fall I'll keep you warm through the winter. Ooh, 'cause I've noticed one thing, this ain't no summer fling. I'd like to ride my bicycle on a handlebar, you laugh and run away. Do I?